It's time again for the Scotty Johnny podcast with your host, Scotty Johnny himself, John Barnett, and the ego himself, Cheddar Talk, Aaron Flottam, talking Wisconsin sports, NFL through D3, college hockey, doesn't matter. Two mics, two crusty vets, two opinions, one based in reality and one based in what do you bet on Twitter, with music by Delete Great Cars and Trucks. Here's John and Aaron.
Welcome, welcome, one and all. Welcome in to the Scotty Johnny podcast. I am your not-so-humble host, Jonathan Barnett, Scotty Johnny himself. And with me, as per usual, is Aaron Flottam.
Hey, John, what's going on?
Oh, it's been a rip-roaring day for all of us so far. So we're.
I know. We've been so busy trying to figure everything out that I haven't even gotten a chance to crack my beers yet. So let's count them. All right, you keep talking.
Yeah. Just for everybody to remember, you can follow us on Twitter. You can follow the show at Scotty Johnny Pod. You can follow me at Not So Humble Host. And Aaron, where do people find you on the Twitter box?
Well, I haven't been banned yet, so I'm on at Cheddar Talk. At Cheddar Talk, John, that's where you find me.
All right. So
I think we're ready now.
Perfect. You can find this podcast, of course, on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and much, much more. Just remember, of course, that you should subscribe to that. You should download, listen, rate, and review us. One of the reasons why this has been taking so long today is that we've been trying to work on getting a recording so we can put it also, a video recording to put on YouTube, which we've done once before.
Yes.
And everything that we had is working insanely against us this week so that the recording doesn't quite come out the way we'd like it to, but we're
right. And I'm not going to throw any applications under the bus, Skype, but get your split screen stuff figured out because it's garbage. And now I don't have a background. Now I get to see the rafters of my unfinished basement instead because I can't get something to cover up my house in the background. I'm not showing anything. I'm not showing any like PII or anything, right? You can't see anything back there.
No. There's no OPSEC violations here.
All right. I just don't want people to figure out where I'm at. I mean, although if you Google my name, you probably could figure that out, no problem. But anyways.
Yeah. So. You're hard to find.
Real hard to find.
All right. Well, we do have things to talk about this week, and we'll get everything started right away in what we lovingly call our main event.
Starting things off with the main event.
All right, so main event here is going to start off with Packers news, because that's just about the only thing we have, but we do have some more, because there was, you know, the news fairy sprinkled something on us today to help us out with information. So we had things to talk about. So that could be interesting as we move along through here today. That being said, I'm trying to adjust my mic here and there as we go. But
what news fairy are you talking about?
Well, there were fun, weird stories for the Packers and other teams this week. One of the big ones that came up is this weird Brett Favre. Well, Brett Favre appeared twice this week in the news.
Yes.
Which was strange for all of us. The first thing is this weird welfare issue that Brett Favre is apparently dealing with. I immediately sent this story to Aaron, not Aaron Rodgers, but Aaron here, my mm-hmm. lovely co-host. And it's definitely weird. So essentially, if you haven't heard the story already, it's, I think Cindy... Was it Cindy Boren from Washington Post?
Cindy Lauper.
No, Cindy Boren, I believe, from the Washington Post first broke this story. Apparently, Mississippi is facing some kind of internal, they did some internal auditing, you know, as a state does from time to time, just to make sure that they're getting their stuff. They're not getting massively overcharged for things and that their different places are running effectively and efficiently, right?
Right.
Well, they found that they paid $1.1 million to Brett Favre for appearances, speaking appearances, for which he did not appear. And
that seems like a conflict of interest. I wish somebody would pay me $1.1 million for
right
not showing up for a podcast 2 weeks in a row. Oh, your glass just disappeared. That was great.
Heck, if they'd pay me that much just for a, you know, just for being on the podcast, I'd be happy for that. But
right.
So the biggest reason this is a major issue is not only was their money paid, it came from the Mississippi Department of Human Services. And some of it was like welfare money and stuff. And so this was for speaking at like children's events and things like that, for which Brett Favre was being paid to show up and, you know, talk to kids and do things about, you know, healthy living and different things like that or whatever. And right. He didn't show up and got paid. Now, in fairness, Brett Favre does a lot of speaking engagements. Brett Favre makes a lot of money. He immediately returned all the money. He did.
Oh, well, good on him.
Yeah.
He also makes a lot of Wrangler jeans commercials, too.
Not as much anymore. But he immediately said that he was not going to keep any of this money. He returned it to the state, said, look, I don't know what's going on there. But yeah, the biggest thing is that the gentleman who is responsible for making sure these checks went out to Brett Favre apparently is also being investigated for embezzling from the state. And apparently just, got involved and never really stopped paying Brett. Brett doesn't seem to have been culpable necessarily in any of this, but it's a weird story.
This seems like a very Office Space sort of thing. Like, there was a glitch in the system, so he just kept getting paid. He was fired seven years ago, but he just kept getting paid. So what did you do? Well, we fixed the glitch.
So he's been fired, huh? No.
We find it better to fire people on Fridays. Less chance.
No. You don't see. We fixed the glitch.
He's got upper management written all over him. Yes.
I'm gonna have to go ahead and disagree with you there.
I work with the people.
It's fabulous. If you haven't seen Office Space, you haven't lived. That's a great movie.
I'm getting the quotes wrong too. That's the worst part. I haven't seen it in a while, and I got to rewatch that. I used to watch that at least once a month. It's quietly one of the best comedies ever, right behind Lebowski. So
it's oddly appropriate for so many, like any job basically that you've ever had. It works in the Army. You know, like we've all had the like ineffective S3 captain who's just hanging around and, you know, not actually writing good op orders and stuff like that. And you're like, oh my goodness, I've seen this guy. You're like,
hey, Peter, what's happening? Hey, Sergeant Flottam, what's happening? Hey, I noticed.
Hey, LT. So,
anyways, back to the real world.
Right. The other great Brett Favre story this week is that he gives interviews. Why? Because there's things going on with Aaron Rodgers. And because they drafted the future quarterback of the Packers, in theory, they've said, well, we need to talk about with Favre about what did that mean for you? And what does this look like for how you experienced it? And what do you think should go on here now?
And I ain't teaching that kid anything.
Which is exactly what Brett Favre said, basically. I mean, you're paraphrasing and sounding funnier in doing it, but he essentially said,
If I was Aaron Rodgers, I wouldn't teach him a dang thing. I'd hang on to my job forever and then bail last minute, find a way to the Vikings and crush them.
Yeah. So the big thing is apparently he said something along the lines of, and I've seen the quotes, I'm just not remembering them right now. Mm-hmm. He basically said, it's not Aaron Rodgers' job to mentor Love. He shouldn't spend time mentoring him. He's not afraid for his job, which is correct. Aaron Rodgers is not in any danger of losing that job.
No.
Everybody knows this. It was amazing. Like, Bleacher Report put out a story about scouts are saying that Jordan Love will take 2 to 3 years to develop. I was like, literally everybody says that.
Yeah, that was the point.
I was like, nobody thinks he's starting next year, right?
No.
Or the year after.
No, or any of this garbage about him leaving the team. I mean, I mean, during the solo podcast last week, I said something about this, and we destroyed it 2 weeks ago and the week before that. Like, the Packers would have, if they were to get rid of him in any other way, shape, or form, than trading him with the other team taking the salary cap hit, the Packers would take a massive salary cap hit if they just let Aaron Rodgers go. Like,
yeah,
for next year, burned, especially, yeah. It'd be like $24-27 million of dead cap money. I mean, and that's not the point, and it's never been the point. And it's This is just garbage take after garbage take. And because of the environment we're in with the COVID, like, people are running out of crap to talk about. We need NASCAR to come back so we have some, and for Kurt or Kyle Busch to punch somebody so we have something else to talk about, because this is just, it's asinine. And the fact of the matter is, nobody expected Aaron. Everyone, we talked about it, and a lot of people are like, well, Aaron Rodgers had to deal with this with Brett Favre, and he should know better, and blah, blah. And even we said, it's like, it'd be nice if he did take that approach, but if he doesn't, I don't blame him either. And his ego is quietly bigger than Brett Favre's, because Brett Favre, you know where his ego's at, because he wore it, you know, very openly. Aaron Rodgers is a quiet assassin, man. Like, that dude doesn't talk. Everything he says is calculated. The only time things aren't calculated is when you see raw emotion on the field, and sometimes your beer keeps disappearing and it makes a hole in your head. Anyways, the only time you ever get any kind of that is like raw emotion. And when I listen to the KFAN Morning Show out of the Twin Cities, you know, like, Chris Hockey talks about it all the time too. He's like, I would hate to play for Aaron Rodgers, because every time you see a receiver drop a ball, just the look on Aaron Rodgers' face, like, I am going to kill you when you get back to, but he doesn't. But I mean, it's just like, I mean, that's the only time you see that kind of raw emotion outside as a fan, you know. Brett Favre, you knew exactly what was going on with Brett Favre all the time, even if he was flip-flopping, you know. But yeah, no, and I don't expect Aaron Rodgers to mentor him in a one-on-one, like, hey kid, come over here, I'm going to tell you some things, we're going to make you better so you can kick me out of here. If he mentors Love in a way that, like, just by letting him watch him play and sitting in the quarterback's room with him alone, that's enough. Like,
yeah,
he should be able to figure out what Aaron Rodgers is doing by watching him, because those two are going to be attached by the hip for 200 days a year, you know? So, and they have to learn the same offense. So, yeah. I mean, if you got 3 years of sitting behind him, I mean, Aaron Rodgers probably is a better quarterback for sitting behind Brett Favre for 3 years. And Brett Favre actively went out of his way not to mentor him. And I'm sure he learned enough in those 3 years sitting on the bench behind Aaron Rodgers or behind Brett Favre, just by osmosis, like how to handle the game, how to handle certain situations, listening, paying attention, being a sponge and absorbing that stuff. You know, maybe he watched Brett Favre react to a situation one time and put it ended up good, or it ended up poorly, and he made a little, you know, a little scratch mark in his brain, like, hey, like my brother Nathan, my youngest one, said that he spent most of his childhood life watching me make mistakes and remembering all the mistakes I made and actively trying not to make the same mistakes, because he's like, everything else you were doing were great. He's like, you kept shooting yourself in the foot left and right, like,
yeah,
in the way you conducted yourself and so the way you did some of these things. I made active memories in my brain, like, Aaron did this when this happened, don't do it this way, do it the exact opposite way. And Nathan's a CW3 Blackhawk pilot, maybe one of the best we have in the entire military. So, you know, so, I mean, yeah, there you go.
Yeah, I've spent a good chunk of my adult life watching you screw up and shoot. Well,
I know a lot of people have gotten a long ways watching. I have people I work with, and contemporaries that flat out tell me, like, hey, so we take all your good ideas and run with them, and you got lots of really innovative ideas, and you know this from working with me, like,
yes,
that guy's smart, and then I'm not going to do 75% of the stuff that you do, because that's just going to land me in jail.
true I'll leave it at that. I'm not going to go a lot further building down that road. It's good and safe.
And I want to admit, I'm not actually drinking beer. I'm drinking Bon and Viv. Sorry.
All right. I'll just go double down on what you just said. Favre is basically just stating the obvious. It's not Aaron Rodgers' job to mentor. It's a good thing to do, because, right, I mean, that is going to be part of his legacy, is what does he do here in this moment, and who is he? And I think, I mean, he's a fierce competitor, but he seems like a good guy and a fun guy. And I bet he's going to spend some time working with him. I mean, to be very clear, he is not afraid of Jordan Love. He is a much better player than Jordan Love. And he has no reason to be afraid of Jordan Love, because he's not going to be passing him soon. He is a ball of potential. And at this point, that's all he is. Meanwhile, we have a quarterback who is not just potential, but actualization. And yeah, Aaron's not quite the player.
Hall of Fame actualization that leads the league in 20 plus yard passes in the last 3 years. Yes.
Yeah. It's actually, I mean, generally speaking, his quarterback rating drops the greater his average depth of target gets. So that doesn't necessarily fill me with warm fuzzies. But either way, the biggest thing on Twitter that is the most annoying to me at this point for the in a sports sense is the number of people who put together, well, two things. The people who put together their Giannis trades of like, hey, what if the Celtics gave you, you know, three bench players and a pick? That seems like an awesome trick. We're like, no. The team we have is better than the team you have. Why would you take your garbage players and also a pick that doesn't mean anything, especially when it's going to be a pick for a team that has Giannis? it's a useless pick. It's like, no, nobody's going to do that. You're an idiot.
If you give us the Timberwolves picks for the next five years, we're not
they're not trading Giannis. And the other thing is the number of people who are like, where do you think Rodgers ends up next year? Chicago? I'm like, he's not going anywhere for three years at least. And then you'll see what's left at that point. I mean, he's had some injuries. He has not been as accurate in the last two or three years now as he had been. He's still great. I mean, he's still great, but I mean, yeah, he's
still has flashes, man. There was a couple throws that he made to Devontae in the playoffs that were one. Andy Herman was breaking one down. No, it wasn't Andy Herman. I'm misappropriating it. There was a tweet someone had that one where against Seattle when there was three outs to the left, and then Devontae went right, and then he hit him over the top, and Devontae went for that long touchdown against Seattle.
I think Dusty. From Cheesehead TV had that one.
I think
he usually puts one of those up.
Correct. And
hit most mornings. He's got one.
I mean, it was just an over the top throw. That was just like, I mean, not over the top, like not exaggerated over the top, but like over the top of the receiver. And it was put on, and he didn't have much. I mean, it was a small window small window to work with. I mean, the safety wasn't bearing down, but I mean, he didn't have a lot to work with. And the fact that he got Sherman to bite up on the curl that was right next. It was a five receiver set. Three went left, two went right, one curled, Adams went out. Sherman bit on the not Sherman.
Might have been Sherman. Depends on where he is, because he doesn't he's never played the sides. Well, he plays position. He plays a side of the field.
Sherman plays for San Fran. I don't know if it was from a couple of years back.
It was. It was 2 years ago.
Was it? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was.
I thought that was from the playoffs this year. Anyways, but then
same one, I think it's the one from the regular season 2 years ago.
You are correct. You're right. But I was thinking about there's another throw in the Seattle playoff game this year that was unconscious. Like Aaron Rodgers still does it.
He did lead the league in passes requiring advanced skill. He had the most completions in throws requiring high skill, high accuracy throws this season. So. Yeah,
right. I mean, good. And he does. I mean, he does a lot of things. I mean, Mahomes, I can't take a shot at Mahomes. Mahomes is great. Mahomes is what Aaron Rodgers was in 2010. People forget this. Like, they're very comparable. Like, where Aaron Rodgers was in the Super Bowl, the end of the Super Bowl, well, at the end of the year before when they end up losing to the Cardinals, and he just went nuts and they lost on the face mask at the end, and the Cardinals ended up in the Super Bowl that year. That's when we were coming back from Iraq, because I watched that in an MWR tent. The next year they win the Super Bowl. We did. And then the year after that, they go 15-1. In that stretch, Aaron Rodgers looks like what Mahomes looks like now. it's the same thing. People, short memories. That was just, I mean, I know it was 10 years ago, but he was doing the same things. And like, the problem with Rodgers is what we've always complained is that he's always got his eyes downfield and he's trying to go for that just killer play, which he used to be able to do with Jordy and Greg Jennings and James Jones.
Yeah.
Well, he doesn't have those people anymore. He's got Devontae, who is comparable maybe to Jordy Nelson in his prime.
Yeah, I'd say that. Route running guy. being necessarily blazing, but fast enough to run away from people if he needs to.
Right. But Jordy was a little bit more of a horse. Jordy, once he got into the open field, was long gone. Devontae, yeah. Him and Devontae Adams are similar, but not similar.
Devontae reads a field a little bit better when he's running. His cutbacks in the open field are so good. And that's, I guess it's different. He's not as fast as Jordy, but he can just suddenly make a change. I mean, like a running back out there at times, just the way he can read how guys are approaching him and the angles he can take and such. So there's some of that with it too.
It's a bit of hyperbole, but not like Terrell Davis wasn't the fastest running back ever. But I was thinking that when I was watching a couple of Devontae highlights the other day, I was like, he moves like Terrell Davis. Like, he just knows when to cut.
Yeah.
And he's not the fastest, but he runs away from people because he is good at angles and he finds his way in. Terrell Davis wasn't a fast running back. What was he, like a 4.6? 4.7 maybe?
I don't remember that offhand.
I mean, but I don't know his stats either. I'm just saying, like, roughly though, like, if you ever watched Terrell Davis play in his prime, like, he wasn't the fastest running back on the field, but that man knew when to jump through the line, and then he was past everybody and he knew how to get away from them.
And if he's in the Hall of Fame, then Sterling Sharp should be in the Hall of Fame. Just
absolutely. Sterling Sharp should be in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah. So I just put this down in my notes. The way I wrote it down for that Bleacher Report article about scouts saying Love needs 2 to 3 years, I just wrote down that this is the candidate for the Duh Award. It's the most obvious thing ever. Why even bother writing it? Everybody knew this. It's not even fake news. It's not even pretend news. It's not news. You're just like, people prefer sunny weather. You know, it's like, come on, man. Just, we all knew this. In kind of following in that same stream of talk that we were going on here, that, you know, Rodgers and things and the stuff that people say about Rodgers and trading Rodgers and whether he's angry and stuff, even though he hasn't said a word. And he did call Love the day of the draft and talk to him and all this stuff. And it's like, oh, yeah, but he didn't tell us he called him. We're like, he doesn't have to do that. That's not his job. Figure it out. Like, did anybody, like, reach out and ask Rodgers if he called?
Did you call your mother on Mother's Day? That's your business, not everybody else.
Yeah, that's the weird things. But at the same time, like you were kind of saying, being in this time where there's not a lot going on, but we really desperately want football news, we last year had all this, like, Aaron Rodgers hates his coaches. He hates people, and he hates this LaFleur guy because he wasn't consulted. And it looked like they had a great time last year. Like, they seemed to get along really well. They had a lot of fun on the sidelines. You know, they were joking and messing around with each other a lot. And winning does that, first off. People are angry when they lose. I mean, these are all high-end people who hate losing. And, I mean, most of that was like, it was fill the void with talk about Aaron Rodgers. Never mind that Tom Brady has gotten in screaming matches with his coaches. Everything that goes on in Pittsburgh and all these other things. They're like, nobody says boo about what goes on in all that. This week, we've got the new story about Tom Brady. You know, other than him breaking, you know, not breaking in, but walking in unannounced to the completely wrong house. Other than him working out in a public park when he's not allowed to. You know, when he's restricted in COVID, other than him just being crazy as all get go, and eating just weird crap. Tom Brady, there've been a bunch of things put out here that several people have said now. One of the reasons that seems to have been the cause for him leaving New England is he and McDaniels don't really get along. He was burned out by McDaniels' system and wanted a bigger say in the offense and wasn't being given that. Now, if you had said that about Aaron Rodgers, who's never, ever really had that said, but they make that story, even though nothing like that has ever come up. They'll make that story regardless, even though there's nothing to back it up. And Brady, it was just like a background story in Bleacher Report or I forget where, The Athletic or something like that. And now he's all mad that people are reporting it. Like, come on. They make this story with Rodgers with no evidence every couple days about how he's mad, how he hates everybody, he's leaving. And I mean, never mind that Aaron never does try to leave and seems to be completely happy and hasn't gotten to that last year's contract and all these other things. And I mean, it's like, Brady is the actual story. He's everything people say about Rodgers that never seems to come true. Brady does. Brady sits on the field and cries about calls. Brady yells at his own coaches on the sideline. Brady runs around the field looking for a high five from people who don't want to high five him. Like, mm-hmm. like no joke. That's happened several times. We've all seen the videos of that. Mm-hmm. If you just want to look for memes of pictures of Tom Brady, half of them are him sitting on the ground looking sad. You know, mm-hmm. it's like he does this where like anytime he's hit, he just lies there and it's like,
well, that's because the sports media has run out of the Northeast because ESPN's up there. Enough of them have moved over to Fox. And then a good chunk of the sports media, national sports media, is also driven out of Chicago, which all of them hate the Packers anyway. So it's always at a disadvantage. I mean, Brett Favre was not universally loved until after he left Green Bay, basically. If it wasn't for Madden liking him, like the legend, I mean, it's. Well,
and here's the other thing I'll say is even that there's that there's this American thing like, well, if you win a championship, then you can do whatever you want. I mean, Michael Jordan is being lauded over this Last Dance thing. He was a class A jerk to everybody. Like, he's a terrible person. Yes. He's a terrible person. Yes. And everyone's like, isn't it great? And you're like, he was so petty about Isaiah Thomas, and he was so petty about, I mean, making up stories about guys on his high school team. Like, literally making them up, because they're not true, by the way. Right. Like, they've been proven not true. Like, everybody else would say, like, no, that's not what happened at all. But, I mean, like, he's still holding these weird grudges, and we're acting like, well, that's what happens. That's that championship gene. You're like, you know what? A lot of guys who suck had that same thing. They just didn't happen to have Scottie Pippen and Dennis Rodman and, you right. know,
what, well, and here's why, and here's why, here's why, here's why, here's why I know the Northeast, who doesn't like the fact that Aaron Rodgers is actually better than Tom Brady, and Chicago runs sports media, is because this love affair with Drew Brees. I like Drew Brees as much as the next person. He seems like a nice guy. He's a good quarterback.
Yeah.
But the fact that everyone says, well, he's obviously better than Aaron Rodgers. I mean, he's got more. He's 3 years older, but he's got one Super Bowl and no MVPs.
Yeah.
And has never been considered the best quarterback in the league at any point in his career.
No.
He's always been, he's better than Phillip Rivers.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ben Roethlisberger's been to more Super Bowls and won more than he has. What? He's been to one.
It's a team game.
And they've had some good teams in New Orleans too.
Yeah.
But he also dropped the ball against the Vikings twice in 3 years, including at home last year.
Yeah, that one.
Got torchlight paraded by Cookie Cousins over there in Minnesota.
There's another one who everyone likes his numbers and all this stuff. And if hockey wants to talk about anybody you don't want to play for, like Kirk Cousins is a lesser version of Rodgers who yells at people easily as much. I mean, we all saw like the number of times he's had just shouting matches with, you know, Diggs and Thielen on the sideline where he's convinced they've gone the wrong way. Diggs, and he doesn't Diggs just got... give them a look. He follows them to the sidelines and yells at them. And you're like, yeah, this is why Diggs wanted out.
Yeah, that's why Diggs wanted out of there. And of course he's being, I mean, he's, I'll take shots. That's a two-way street because Diggs is a, but I don't know. We'll see how it all works out on Buffalo for him if he's still the same kind of person. But I don't think outside of the antics on the field, and he missed a game last year for just because he just didn't want to either way. So there was some diva stuff going on with Diggs too, but
yeah, he's a receiver.
I mean, but still at the same time, I mean, like, you can just tell, like, there's the animosity between him and his receiver. I mean, that's how it is with everybody. The only quarterback that I think I've ever seen in my life that, honest to God, like, his players loved playing for him in my recent years would be Russ Wilson seems to have his team. I think Russ. Yeah, that's a...
Maybe
Russ doesn't seem to get in any fights with his teammates. So
I don't know. He's had a couple little weird things. Some people think he's a little preachy, but That's, yeah, I don't know. Either way,
I mean, that's what happens with all these long-term quarterbacks that play for 15 years. Sooner or later, something's got to happen. And not only that, but the other players are going to hate them because they make infinitely more – quarterbacks make infinitely more money than anybody else on the team. I mean, like, if you drop half the money that – I mean, Mahomes is going to make $50 million a year next year. No, I'm dead serious. It's going to be 50. It's going to be close to it. It's going to be up there. I mean
– he's going to make 40, I think, at least. 50 might be a bit up there.
Yeah, 50 I don't know. On the back end, maybe 40 on the front end of the contract and 50 on the back end.
Yeah, because you figure that the salary cap is going to keep going up.
There'll be a 50 somewhere in that 7-year contract that they give him, and it will be a 7-year contract.
No, there'll be a 5. I don't think you can go 7.
I was going to say, what's the maximum in the
NFL? I think 5 is all you can do. I've never seen anything more than a 5-year contract in the NFL. I don't think you can go above that.
I got confused with hockey there for a second because hockey's got a.
Theirs are a little longer, yeah.
So, well, there was that one guy, the devil signed the one guy for 12 years, and then I think they brought it back to 7. I think that's why I had 7 in my head.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember who that was. I was thinking of who, and it wasn't even like somebody who I thought should have made that kind of money.
No,
it was Devils signed, right?
Yeah, New Jersey Devils. Yeah, that's why I said New Jersey did it. Yeah, and I can't remember who it was. I didn't know who the player was, but they gave him like a 12 or a 15-year contract, and it was like,
yeah, I remember it happening. I could darn near see his face. I just can't think of his name off the top of my head. It was I'll think of it after the show.
Whatever.
Once I hear it, I'll remember it, but I can't remember it right now. Biggest thing is just that anything that Brady does gets forgiven. And if Rodgers does it, then, I mean, even if he doesn't do it, they'll pretend he did. And it's kind of frustrating. The other Packers news this week is, of course, that the schedule came out, which people treat like it's something that we need to have a separate TV show for.
Speaking of the Saints. Yeah.
Yeah. And
what's
actually
that, week three, Monday Night Football.
Yeah. So what it goes here is at Vikings, Lions at home, at Saints. Falcons at home, at Tampa Bay, at Houston, Vikings at home, at San Francisco, Jaguars at home, November 15th, at Indianapolis, Bears at home, Eagles at home, at Detroit, Carolina at home, Tennessee at home, and then at the Bears to end the season.
Oh my God, that's almost an at home, at home, at home, at home, at home, at home, at schedule, except for in November when they have 2 home games in a row.
Yeah, it goes pretty easily. I mean, like,
there's no streaks of like 3 home games there.
Yeah, right now they've got spreads for the first 3 games, the Vegas spreads. First one is Packers, Vikings favored by 3.5, which I guess I don't get because the Vikings, they're not as good. And I have fought some people on Twitter on this, and I don't get it. I get the road game. Maybe it's different. I could see them losing that. I would still project them to win.
This far out, when the Vikings, the Packers, or the Bears are very good, or good in any way, shape, or form, and projecting this far out, I mean, the Lions have never equated into this, but whenever the Bears have been good, whenever the Packers have been good, and whenever the Vikings have been good, it's always a 3-point spread for the home team to start. And then it works its way down. I mean, we're 6 months out, 4 months out.
The weirdest thing I've heard from Vikings fans this offseason is is you point out to them like, hey guys, you lost 5 of your nickel defensive starters, your top 3 corners, and 2 of your good linemen. You get Linval Joseph and Everson Griffin. You still got Danielle Hunter, but it's like, okay, you lost a bunch up there, and that's going to hurt. And they're like, well, Xavier Rhodes wasn't that good last year. He couldn't cover anybody. I was like, you're starting a rookie who you don't know if he can play at all. You don't know if he can make it in this league. And, the guy you're starting across from him is a later rookie who you don't think can play. I was like, there's 5 rookies you're probably going to be hoping can play this year, or your defense may not be that good. And the Packers swept that team last year, and they didn't get better. Their offense is worse. I mean, like, they had to draft a lineman. Yeah, he's a rookie lineman. But they also had to replace Stephon Diggs with a rookie. Right. I mean, you don't know if this team's any good at this point.
I like the kid out of LSU. What's his name?
Justin Jefferson. Talked about him for 2 weeks there leading into it. I mean, he's
right.
Good.
No, I wish the Packers would have got him. I wish he would have slipped back. But you know what? First round draft pick wide receivers.
Yeah, it's 50-50. Who knows?
30% actually are worth a damn. I mean, he might be the best one ever. But he's also played slot. Like, I mean, so.
Yeah.
You don't know. And to put all your eggs in one basket, I mean, the Vikings had two draft picks before Aaron Rodgers, and they screwed those up. who knew that was going to happen with Erasmus James? He got hurt.
I hate calling injured players busts. So
right, exactly.
But Troy Williamson is.
That's why I said you don't know that was going to happen. But I mean, like the Vikings, like, well, we have 13 draft picks to pick from. Well, most of them were day three. So let's cool your jets. And second of all, you don't know, especially with the wide receiver spot. Like, he might be a total bust. I don't think he will be. I think personally, he's going to be a very good player for a long time, which really makes me mad that they have him, but you don't know. So, I mean, the fact that the Packers are coming back with the same team they had last year, and only with better cohesiveness in a second year of a system versus your rookie-laden team that is in this weird, like, not rebuilding but rebuilding mode.
Yeah, the rebuild Vikings, on the fly kind of thing, yeah.
The Vikings have been rebuilding on the fly for 25 years.
No, they've been there for the last three. They're like, this is our year. We did it.
Their window has been open since 1974.
Yeah. But yeah,
so it's McDonald's, but anyways.
Yeah, so I mean, like, I don't know. I get it because of the home thing, and the home opener is a big deal. That is a big deal. So I guess I give them a little extra juice for that, because that home opener is going to be something. Lions, then at Green Bay. Packers are favored by 6.5 in that one, and then the Saints are favored by 6.5 in the New Orleans game. I definitely see that. Falcons coming up to Lambeau after that, and then playing the Buccaneers. I think the Buccaneers are going to be the Browns this year. They're going to be a team everybody picks to be in the Super Bowl, and they maybe don't make the playoffs. People are super excited about having a super old quarterback who doesn't have any, has never played in this system before and can't throw the ball deep. Right. And then also going and getting a tight end who's not as good as the tight end they had on their team last year. You know, like, Gronk was retired. He was wrestling a couple weeks ago. I mean, come on. He's not your savior. I don't get this. Like, I understand everybody loves Bruce Arians, and I love Bruce Arians too. He's fun as all get go. But
great hats.
Yeah. And I don't understand, though, the way that they're addressing this team and calling, like, man, isn't this amazing? They went and got Gronk. Could you believe that? And it's like, the Patriots gave him up for a fourth round pick. And you're like, if the Patriots are willing to let him go for a fourth, he's not worth that much, because the Patriots don't lose on trades.
Bill Belichick was giggling somewhere that he got a free fourth round draft pick.
Yeah.
Cause Brady convinced Gronk to unretire. Hey, by the way, so considering the COVID-19 thing too, and stadiums. So the juice of that first round game, if there's nobody in US Bank Stadium and there's no Jello horn,
it'll be the same sound as ever, because it's all fake noise.
It's all fake noise. But I mean, if there's no crowd noise there, I mean, number one, get rid of those 3 points right off the bat. Second thing, if somehow the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are better than 500, or not just 1-5 or 1-4 going into week 5, and the Packers are going to be probably 4-1, 3-2 at the worst, that game, they don't have the Sunday night games yet, though, right? Did they already announce?
I think they have some of those out. Packers have, like, was it 5 primetime games?
I mean, that Sunday night, right?
Nope.
That'll be the first, as long as both of them are healthy, that'll be the first time Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers have ever played against each other.
No. They've played it before.
No.
Packers, remember the game where Devontae went off when it was Jordy, Cobb, and Devontae, I think in his rookie year or whatever, and he destroyed the Patriots because they had two good corners, but not a third. And we had 3 good wide receivers, and we beat them at Lambeau. So they've played each other before. No, that one's a 3:25 game. It's just an afternoon game.
I'm eyeing you up, John, right now. You talk. I'm going to look this one up because I don't think Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers have ever played.
They have. But yeah, no, there's the 49ers game, obviously, in San Francisco. I don't see the Packers winning that one. San Francisco got better this offseason, I think, with a couple of trades they made to make their line better, even though they lost Joe Staley. Wide receiver core, I mean, they lose Sanders, who was there for half a year, but they still added wide receiver help with Brandon Ayuk. They still got the late night game against the Bears at Lambeau, and I believe, I'm trying to double check, no, it's a noon game for the Bears to end the season. But they also have the Titans in late night. It looks like the Packers-Panthers game is a to-be-determined yet, so we'll have to see how that works out. But they've got a couple different night games, 49ers, Bears, Falcons, Saints. All of those are going to be primetime games.
They played on Sunday night 2 years ago. That was the first time, because the first time that they would have played was when he got hurt in the Super Bowl year and Matt Flynn had to play and he botched the 2-minute offense right at the end. Otherwise they would have beaten. Yeah. And then they would have played in the Super Bowl, but then Seattle happened and we won't talk about that game.
No.
So no. They've played once and that was 2 years ago on Sunday Night Football. That's right. You are correct. Okay. I was like, no, what the hell was the situation? Why they hadn't played? Sorry. Anyways,
yeah.
Back to important things, John. Thank you.
Biggest ones here, of course, playing at the Buccaneers is going to be a big game television-wise. Yep. Playing at the Saints, playing at San Francisco, night game. Those are going to be big ones. I think the Bears better this year. I think the Vikings are basically – the Vikings at best are the team they were last year. That's what they are at best this next year, is hoping that the guy they drafted at wide receiver in the first round is as good as the Pro Bowler they let walk. You know, it's like – and they're hoping that the corners they drafted are as good as the guys they let walk, because those guys are playing in other teams and starting.
And I've already put it on record. They're going to be 6-10 this year at best, and Zim's going to be gone.
I don't know. I don't think they'll get rid of him, because they made the playoffs last year. If they can be something like 8-8 or 9-7, I still think they're a 9-7 kind of team. I don't think the Lions are particularly great, because they gave up their Pro Bowler, Darius Slay, and then got another corner.
The Slaymaker.
So, again.
Thank God. Thank goodness he's gone. Slaymaker has always been a problem for the Packers. He's a good player.
But at the same time, it's one of those other things where, like, you let go of a very good player, and then you drafted a rookie who, at best, you're hoping just replaces the guy you let go. That's not a win. Right. You're just trying to replace a hole that you created. So giving up Diggs and getting a draft pick is not great, because you had Diggs and now you got a guy who you don't know if he can play yet.
Yeah, but you have a proven entity. It's better to go with the evil that you know than the evil that you don't know. And right now that draft pick, you have no clue how good he is. So, and yeah, way to sink all that money into. No, I'm most worried. What I'm most worried about is going to San Francisco again, because San Francisco didn't get any worse this offseason. As a matter of fact, they got what's his name from Washington as their left tackle to take the place of
Joe Staley. I was saying Joe Staley's gone. Traded for Trent Williams from Washington.
Lost one of the best left tackles because he couldn't play anymore, and now you got one of the best left tackles in the game. Must be nice not having to pay your quarterback because he stinks. It's just, I mean. San Francisco is still they're going to be the cream of the NFC. It's until further notice, they're the Super Bowl favorites to go back, because their team didn't change, and the only thing that they've ever done wrong is not be able to play in the second half of a Super Bowl game, which I blame more on their coach than anybody else. But anyways, couldn't play in the second half of the NFC Championship game either. It's just the Packers didn't have the firepower that Kansas City did to come back. So. Yeah.
I think that there's still a clear chance at something like an 11-5 record and win the division. I think the Packers have that very much in front of them with what they've got here. It's a harder schedule than last year. If we remember, we talked about the team last year. The schedule set up perfectly for what you wanted from a first-year head coach. A ton of home games up front to try to get you stabilized and set in and set your rhythms. And, you know, change differently. This one is pretty even. You don't have any big, long setups here of giant road games.
No.
Yeah, you get the Vikings early when they got a lot of youth early. Normally, the trend is
No preseason and no training camp either, so that might actually really work out.
The general trend usually seems to be that the Vikings are good early and then fade, but it's probably going to be different this year in the terms of the number of different rookies they have starting for this team this year. I expect them probably to go more running than they have been in the past, and we'll see how that works. It didn't do great from last year, obviously.
But, well, no, and defensive-minded teams usually do well early in the season too. If you've got a good defense, which I'll tell you, the Vikings have had some very good defenses, good players, whatnot. Yes. But defensive teams do better early because that's the way it is. Because defense is less complicated, blah blah blah, der der der. And so there's that. And then you add to what was I saying? Sorry, I had a point there, and I lost it when I did the der der der.
No, that's fine.
Imagine that. No, but I mean, but no. Oh, that's what I was going to say. Yeah, and that's why too, though. So yeah, defensive minded teams do well, and you know, if you got a good defense, the Packers did it last year with the upgraded defense. Like they were able to ride their defense early in a lot of close games, and that rough math I did on the air last week by myself. When you weren't there to help me, you know, those 6-1 right. And 6-1 in close games. And that's the thing. But there was also an offense that kind of sustained it through the rest of the season. The Vikings don't. They ride that horse until it's dead around week 10. And then the horse dies. And the rider can't do anything else because that's all they have is defense. And that's been Zim's teams since he's been there. They ride the defense until the defense can't do it anymore. I mean, even in the year when they lost to Philadelphia in the NFC Championship game, that defense was so broken that they barely made it past the Saints. It took a Minneapolis miracle to get past the Saints, and then they just got throttled by Philadelphia because that defense just couldn't maintain it anymore. And that was an amazing defense that year. That was a well put together defense. I wouldn't mind ever having that, but there was no offensive help. It was, we're going to ride this defense until it dies.
Kirk Cousins is in danger of being very much in that Matthew Stafford area of being good enough that you have to keep him, but not good enough that he's worth what you're going to have to pay to keep him.
Friend zone?
Yeah, he's got the football
he's
friend
the
zone.
Quarterback friend zone, yeah. I want you around, but I don't want you around.
Yeah, and we'll see what Matthew Stafford's got left. I mean, how much more is he going to keep going? I mean, he missed a bunch of time with injury last year, too. And, you know, they basically spent their time treading water in the draft. They did make some free agent moves that are going to help that defense and their pass rush, though. But it'll be, I don't know. I don't particularly see the Lions being a threat yet. That was not a great team last year. But they'll have Stafford for the whole year, and Lions fans will pretend that Stafford's ever been anything better than the third best, type of quarterback in this division for a while. I mean, I guess I would still, at this moment, the choice, I mean, they're both better than Trubisky, and they're both better than Foles, I'll say, too, I think.
I was going to say, Trubisky isn't the starting quarterback in
Chicago.
Yeah,
we don't know. but at the same time, I don't know that I would put Stafford ahead of Cousins.
I would.
Yeah, I could see it. I don't really have an argument either way. I think I would put Cousins just a little bit ahead of him, but I think Cousins is maybe a little bit more like receiver dependent. He's had better receivers throughout his career. He had DeSean Jackson and Pierre Garçon, and Josh Doctson was his third option. And then he came there into Minnesota.
He had a really good tight end. Who is his tight end?
Oh, he was always injured too, so it didn't much matter.
Right, but he was a good tight end. Anyways,
he's a very good tight end. He's just always hurt. So yeah, he had a bunch of that going on. But
he also had more. He also had Morris, the running back that Dallas has now, when he busted out like a 1,500 yard season. So he always had decent running backs too.
Oh yeah.
Morris, so, right? Was that his last name?
Yeah, but he came out big when they were still with I'm thinking of the other quarterback, RG3, But he really did come on strong and then got worse every single year.
I'm just saying that Cousins has
helped
options.
To a fantasy championship though. So
right. So I mean now Stafford did have Calvin Johnson. Mm-hmm. Also someone who should be in the Hall of Fame if he wasn't on the Lions.
he'll be in the Hall of Fame. He was the best receiver of his era.
Oh, absolutely. But I mean it's just like him and Barry Sanders, very much the same, just wasted talents on teams that never had a chance to get anywhere. But I mean, besides that, Calvin Johnson, he's had Golden Tate, who's I will still argue with you to this day because you hate Golden Tate, and I'm always like, no, Golden Tate.
He's good.
He's a good, very good number two receiver.
Yeah, I'll give you that. Yeah,
yeah, and
I just don't like him.
Yeah, I know. Exactly.
That's a different argument entirely.
Oh, okay.
I can dislike somebody and still know they're great or good or whatever. I mean, like, I try to separate these two things. I don't like Golden Tate.
Yes.
And
okay.
Because
of
the fail Mary, but he's very good. And he's
that's right. He's the fail Mary receiver. I forget about that.
And
too.
He's very good after the catch. Like, you can get him the ball in space and he can run. I mean, yeah, he's great in space. He really is.
So Stafford's had him. He had Ebron, but Ebron wasn't good when he was with Detroit. Stafford's got better talent and Stafford's got better moxie. I've never seen him be a complainer. Does that make sense?
Right. Stafford's
never been a complainer. Like
Stafford will break your soul at the end of the game. Like he is, they're like, oh man, he's fourth quarter comebacks. It's like, well, he seems to be in a lot of games where he really should lose and sometimes wins. But, like, by the way, he also just loses a lot of them. So,
exactly.
It's like, he's an okay guy. He's a good quarterback. He's a better than average quarterback.
Yeah.
Who has never once received an MVP vote and has made one Pro Bowl. And never made an all pro team. Never once made an all pro team.
I'll still put him above Cousins. So,
here's where it goes back, getting back kind of to the schedule talk we have. I think the Packers are going to lose to the Saints. I think they're going to lose to the 49ers on the road. Those are both road games. The Buccaneers and Texans in back-to-back weeks, if they get a split there, that's something I could easily see. And then there's one or two tough home games. Like Eagles, I don't even know what to think of the Panthers at this point. I don't think they're real a threat.
No.
But the Titans at home and the Eagles at home might be rough. And then you say maybe you split one with like either the Vikings or the Bears on the road. And then you end up as like 11-5 if you split a couple of those ones there where some of those things are going to go that way. I think 11-5 is a very reasonable way of looking at this. And looking at the teams in the division, I still think the Packers are the best team. I think the Bears are going to be better than what they were last year. I think they ended up on the bad side of a lot of games they could have won. And I think the Vikings are just who they showed to be. I think that they were, and I think they're slightly worse this year than they were last year. So I think they're like a 10-6 team. I think the Bears are like a 9-7 team. And I think the Lions are still the Lions. So
I don't see a loss on the schedule.
Well, not yet.
Sorry, I just want to pull up my Paul Allen on that one.
Oh gosh,
falling and church in on that one. I don't see a loss on the schedule.
Yeah, that is a Paul Allen.
I really don't. But I want to take the approach that we did last year, and I want to say that the Packers are going to be 6-10 and be pleasantly surprised at the end of the year. So
that's fair too.
I think I'm going to start taking that approach because it works out a whole lot better. Because the Badgers approach, where we think they're going to be national champions and we get disappointed year after year after year, is really starting to wear on me 40 years into this bit. But it's hard to predict. And it's really hard to predict. See, being like I mentioned earlier with the Jefferson thing, is that if we don't have a preseason or a off season. And we don't have home games or away games because all the games are going to be played in three stadiums in front of no fans because we don't know yet. I mean, that just like the baseball season, it's like take all your predictions and throw them right out the window because you don't know at that point. And as a matter of fact, teams like the Packers and the 49ers that did not overhaul their teams are going to do a whole lot better because they're not going to be relying. Like you said, the Vikings are going to be relying on a lot of rookies to come in and fill fill spaces. I honestly, for one, think that the Vikings are going to take a huge dip this season because, you know, everyone's like, oh, look at this draft, 13 picks, blah, 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 whatever. We're able to fill so many holes. And it's like, just by percentage, they're going to have some starters out of that draft. But at the same time, if you're drafting 13 people to fill holes, your team's in a lot worse shape than you're letting on. And you just spent a whole bunch of money on a quarterback. I honestly think it's going to shake out. I do think the Packers are going to win the division. And I think it's going to be by a more comfortable margin. I'm going to go 10-6 only because I think that the Vikings are going to be 8-8 and the Bears are going to be 7-9 and Detroit's going to be 5-11.
All right.
So, all right. And actually,
let's write this date down.
I think the other three teams are going to be 500 and below. Okay. I do. The NFC North is going to be weak this year. The Packers are going to run into a first place schedule, which stinks, you know, but yeah, and that's how it's going to be. So I don't think, and if the Packers do win the division, they will be the number four team in the playoffs. So,
All right. Well, I'm going to roll everything else that we have here quickly into our last call as we're running out of time here, but we'll bring it all up and this will be our last call.
Time to look around and get your bearings. It's time for the last call.
All right, Aaron. So the last couple of things we want to say, the UW head coaches, Greg Gard and Paul Chryst, both agreed to take pay cuts as part of the COVID response. They're trying to save the university about $2.8 million with different pay cuts and work share stuff so that they can try to manage the expenses, because obviously it looks like there's going to be, most states are going to face some budget shortfalls. Most football coaches are the highest paid state employees in their states. And so, yeah, it looks like it's going to be saving some money and trying to help out the state. So, you know, good on them. And I hope they make it up in the back end somewhere, because they're both great. They've both been very, very good. They both look to have good seasons coming up with a lot of returning starters too. So
it's only fair because Gard got out of the postseason and there's not going to be a football season. So anyways,
there's a proposal that has gotten out of owners meetings in MLB stating that they will try to work a plan to get baseball started again by the 4th of July. And nobody is happier than friend of the podcast, Wendy Hansen.
Absolutely.
But we'll see how this goes. It's being sent to the players.
Shrades too. She's a huge Brewers fan too. So.
Right. But Wendy, if you've been following her, you can see that Wendy has been all capsing it all day on Twitter. It's been fantastic. It's pretty great.
It's gotten to that point.
Yes, it has. She's like, guys, we could have baseball. I was like, yeah, we'll see.
Yeah.
It's going to go to the players. Players will vote. There is no players union with more power than the Major League Baseball Players Union. So we'll see what they do. Part of the proposal.
And they're so powerful that they'll get paid no matter what, if they play or not. So,
yep.
I mean, you might think some of them might just want to take a year off and just get paid $24 million for doing nothing.
Apparently, part of the proposals that are being sent to players as well include a possible revenue sharing / salary cap, which the players are going to hate, because they want to make sure that the highest paid players keep getting highest paid, that there's more money being spent on players than anywhere else. But of course, you, as a fan of the Brewers, I would love to see a salary cap, because I would like to have a chance. The Brewers have to make every correct move and no mistakes for 2 or 3 years to have a run that will last a year. And the Yankees can just retool and create a team that will win for 10 years. And that's because there is no salary cap, and because, you know, they just can. Because they make way more than the other teams just because of where they just geographically won the lottery. And it's ridiculous. And it makes it harder to watch teams. I'm still going to watch my Brewers. I mean, that's the thing. I love the Brewers. I'm going to keep watching them whenever they're on. But it's a hurtful thing to say, like, you just no chance that the Brewers can be, they can't be like that. And you know, like football, the smallest team in all of professional sports is 13 championships.
is a lightning rod too. Yeah, no, I watch the Brewers when they suck, and I will watch them when they suck again.
Yeah, because those days are coming again, because it's just the way it works. One of the other stories of the weekend is, or of this week, I guess, Giannis Antetokounmpo, his...
is getting traded?
No, his Twitter account.
For three bench players in the Celtics first-round draft pick? Oh, my God. I saw that on Twitter.
Second-round pick.
Second-round. Oh, yeah. Second-round pick even. Yeah. My God. Lucky for Boston.
Yeah. No, his Twitter account got hacked, and social media apparently got hacked.
By a Boston fan?
Sorry. I have no idea, man. Yeah.
Sorry. That
was... Ooh, you're killing me. You're killing me, Aaron. You got way more. Where were you saving this energy for right now? Why were you doing that? Why couldn't you just... No, but apparently he's been hacked, and he's trying to let everyone know. And let everyone know, like, hey, I understand some weird things were put out about my account, but I was hacked. It was not me. I don't know what happened. The other thing about Giannis,
he got hacked because he can't shoot free throws.
I'm laughing on the inside, I guess.
Somewhere Shaquille O'Neal just cried a tear.
He doesn't cry. That man feels no pain, no pity, or no remorse.
I don't feel anything, anytime, anywhere.
Who is that? Okay. Who was that? I don't know.
I don't know.
I'm the Shaq.
You can hack me, man. It's okay.
Shaq Daddy. Whatever.
No.
Did you know that Shaq owns a whole bunch of Five Guys burgers and fries? Anyways.
He owns a bunch of Papa John's too. So.
Yeah, he's majority owner of Five Guys burgers and fries.
I believe he's on the board at Papa John's too, right?
Yeah, it's amazing. Like if you ever like look at what he does on the side, you're like you love him even more. I love Shaq. Shaq's a national treasure.
Funny as all get go. The one thing I'll say also is there was apparently a lawsuit as somebody was selling unauthorized Greek Freak shirts and apparel and such.
Saw that.
And he's suing, I believe it's for like $1 million or something too, for the infringement on his copyrights and stuff like that too. So that'll be interesting to watch. Copyright infringement, that's super fun.
That's try and get Paul. Do you think we could ever get Paul Lucas on here, by the way?
I have no idea.
The guy from UniWatch?
Oh, I don't know.
He's like the foremost expert on uniforms ever.
Then maybe. That doesn't sound like a job that has a whole lot of other things going on.
Oh, at UniWatch. Get it on Twitter. It's well worth it. He loves the old Bucks, like the Bucks Mecca jerseys and everything like that. He loves Marquette jerseys too. Marquette's had one of the more. Yeah. Anyways, sorry.
That'll be interesting. We'll definitely effort that, I guess, and we'll see where we go. In terms of guests, I mean, we were going to have Jim Widener, friend of the podcast, Jim Widener, join us this week. His wife is sick right now, so we hope that she does well and hope she gets better. And we'll see him in 2 weeks, allegedly. We'll see how it goes. We're still in talks. His people are talking to our people. We're trying to work it all out. But we will be also joined at this point. We've had several talks with Max Kale, who will be joining us. He's starting up a podcast in the Green Bay area, but he is a big Packers fan. I've gone games where he's also gone. We haven't gone together because usually I'm going with my family or my wife. We'll have him on next week. We'll talk some Packers. We'll talk everything else that occurs this week, and we'll have some fun. Max is starting a podcast in the Green Bay area that's going to center around like microbrews and home brews and judging different types of small brews and stuff like that. So keep an eye out for that. We'll help him kind of pump that up next week. He's been kicking around a couple different names, so I can't give you a name yet because it isn't out and ready, but they've been in the midst of recording a couple episodes already. So that should be fun. And Aaron and I might go join him in a little pod-deltery, go on to that podcast as well at some point too.
Yeah, I'm going to have to bone up on my home brewing. I used to be really big on home brewing. And then with all the moves and everything else like that, I actually haven't brewed any of my own beer in 2.5 years. I don't think I've cracked it open yet. But I actually just unpacked all of my home brewing kit the other day. It was one of the last boxes I hadn't touched because, I mean, when you're trying to get your life back in order, the last thing that you're thinking about is, hey, I need to go make a home brew right now. So I actually just unpacked that box the other day. Maybe I'll try and get making beer is hard. That's such a process. But
well, I'll get started because my dad dropped off his homebrew kit and he's done with it at this point. So
it's hard. It's not an easy. I mean, just the heating, the cooling, everything else like that. Like it, the time schedules. It's not like making wine. You can just dump a bunch of crap in a bucket and 2 weeks later you have wine. You actually have to, like, there's a time schedule. You have to get it, you have to heat it, you have to cool it, so, whatever. It's gonna be interesting. I'm looking forward to the talk. So
to be full disclosure here, Aaron Flottam once handed me, I believe it was at Brandon Carlin's wedding, me a bottle of beer and then said, hey, you need to keep this at 60 degrees for another week. And then you can drink it. It was like, are you kidding me? I was like, you handed this to me in a parking lot. Like, it's going to be in a car getting warm. I can't do this. You've killed me.
Oh my God. I was, that was when I was living in Rhinelander and I was single and I had the time to make the beer. And then when I had another incident when I, after I'd moved up to Duluth and it was before the kids, when the kids were so little, it was one of the last batches I made. I made one with some just high octane yeast and I gave it to all my friends and it was the first time I'd used not growlers, but the bigger bottles, the 22 ounce bottles. Okay. And the tool that I use for giving me the headspace and timing at the top, so you leave enough gap at the top of the bottle, I was using it for 12 ounce bottles and not for 22 ounce bottles. So I gave everybody these 22 ounce bottles filled almost as much as a 12 ouncer. And within 6 hours, I had three friends call and tell me that their bottles exploded in their house.
Yeah.
Because that's science and they all work at the same time. Yes. It was like I sent beer hand grenades to everybody's house. It was fantastic.
I loved how you called it headspace and timing.
Yes.
We're
things,
dealing with
things that the new generation won't know, John. We don't have headspace and timing on 50 cals anymore.
It's like if you don't know what a Ma Deuce is and trying to work.
Yeah,
that whole
no,
thing
the
up.
Barrels, the barrels click in and out. They click in and out like the 240 Bravos. Yeah, there's no headspace and timing anymore on a 50 cal. My God, like when we were kids, like you had to know that, or your gun would blow up in your face.
Ma Deuce is a beautiful weapon. This is about the most perfect thing ever made by John Brown. It's that thing is glorious.
Yeah, anyhow, it also has the longest known sniper shot in history in Vietnam. Check it out.
I thought that was the Barrett. It was
no,
the Ma Deuce.
No, somebody did it with the Ma Deuce.
Huh. All right. Anyhow, maybe. Everybody.
I don't rely on facts, just rumors.
This is also true. That is the only fact we know, is that Aaron relies on rumors and innuendo. Anyhow, thank you everybody once again for joining us. It's been a wonderful podcast, even though we had a ton of technical difficulties getting ourselves started here. We're kicking it through to the end, and we're enjoying the last stretch here. Please remember to follow the podcast at Scotty Johnny Pod. You can follow me at Not So Humble Host, and you can follow Aaron at Cheddar Talk. All that on Twitter. Remember, you can follow us on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and much, much more. Please remember to first subscribe, then download, then listen, then rate and review. The least important one is to listen, in all honesty. The least important is the listening part. Make sure you rate and review us. It helps other people find the podcast and helps us kind of spread the John and Aaron vibe out there into the world so that everybody can get the wonderful talk that is the two crazy veterans. And actually, next week when we have Max on, it'll be the first time we've had three veterans on the podcast at one time. Max is Navy, but we'll count it. Anyhow, thanks again, everybody. And remember, you're not allowed to go on the town or on the go in a lot of places. But wherever you are, please remember that it is always on Wisconsin.
John, I was wrong, but I'll tell you about this after we're done talking. how do I do with the UW Superior bit?
This has been the Scotty Johnny Podcast. Remember to find the boys on Twitter at ScottyJohnny1 or online at ScottyJohnny.com. Thanks for listening, and on Wisconsin.